Michael, today we've got another origin story to dig into here. We've been doing our best to listen to the rocket ship listeners out there. And it seems like the listeners are enjoying these tech origin stories. So figured let's bring some more here, right?
Yes. And hey, they're fun for us too, getting to dig into some of today's growing tech companies, learning about how they got started, taking a peek behind the scenes. So who will be profiling today?
Well, I recently had the chance to get together with Todd Olson, the CEO of Pendo, the fast-growing product experience platform based out of Raleigh, North Carolina, to learn more about Pendo's origin story.
Pendo, yeah. Well, if anyone has ever been to your conference, Industry of the Product Conference, they're likely very familiar with Pendo.
Yeah, definitely true. Pendo's been a longtime supporter and sponsor of Product Collective and Industry. They're actually one of the very first sponsors we had. And as a company, they've built a platform that's meant to help product people. And their journey's been a really interesting one. Some people speculate they're the kind of company that could go public in the not too distant future. Who knows? Maybe that'll happen at some point. But yeah, it was awesome to sit down with Todd and just dig in on Pendo's journey.
All right, well, let's get into it. Pendo's origin story today on Rocket Ship, right after we roll the intro. Welcome to RocketShip.fm.
RocketShip FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
Before we dig into Pendo's origin story, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
Okay, the origin story of Pendo.
Yes, Pendo, one of the first product experience platforms to become a true unicorn. They've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, valued now at over $2.5 billion in their latest funding round. Of course, that's where they're at today. But I remember getting to know a very different Pendo. I remember the very early Pendo, the one where they just raised a few million dollars. Our conference, Industry, the Product Conference, was one of the first that they set out to sponsor. It's a much different company. It's been fun to see their growth firsthand. I thought it was a perfect opportunity to dig into those beginning days with Todd Olson, Pendo's CEO. And here's Todd on his background before Pendo and what led him and the team to bringing Pendo to life.
Prior to starting Pendo, I was the head of product at a company called Rally Software. Rally Software was one of these probably early SaaS solutions or early cloud-based solutions focusing on agile project management. And we had a homegrown system for product analytics. It required developers to instrument things. We had a data warehouse. We had Tableau on top of it. And I constantly wanted more answers out of this system. And every time I asked for more answers from this system, it was met with, well, that'll take more engineering time, or we need to instrument this, or oh, we need to bring in this data to it. So it felt like, and that was expensive. Like, the last thing you want to do as a head of product is like put your engineers on some internal system. So that was kind of one challenge I was experiencing. The other big challenge I was experiencing was, you know, I'll basically describe it as like, how do you enable customers in a modern world? And what I saw was, as companies are adopting more and more agile development methodologies, they're shipping features more swiftly. And it meant that we evolved as an industry from this place where we used to do big releases. And we used to do big releases because we used to ship physical media. Like, when you ship a CD, you're not going to do it very often. You know. I remember I found while I was cleaning out my garage recently stacks of Microsoft CDs I used to get, you know, when they would do like a release. In college, you'd get these very inexpensive sets of Microsoft software. And then you're, you know, shipping once a year, twice a year, whatever, like it's going to be a big fanfare. But when you're shipping, you know, a handful of features a week, you need to evolve the way you think about enablement. And one of the customers we had, we had rolled out a big feature release, and one of these customers called and yelled at me as the head of product and saying, you know, hey, you didn't enable my team well. And I was like, look, we did a webinar. You didn't come to the webinar. They're like, we're not going to come to all your webinars. Like, that's madness. So we started experimenting at Rally with in-product messages. And the idea was like highlighting new features, and trying to draw attention to areas of the product that people weren't using. But the challenge was we had no idea whether people were seeing the messages, whether they were whether they're working or not. You know, if I call something new and you logged in this week and like one of your peers logs in 6 months from now, like, is that still new? It's a great question. If new to them, maybe. So I kind of saw this as another challenge, and part of my vision for Pendo is, how do we create a platform that handles all of this? That one, captures the data you need to capture in order to have good insights into how people are using your product, because that just informs a lot of product management questions, everything from, is this feature adding value? Should we invest more here? To even things like pricing and packaging, combined with, you know, how do we message users and drive engagement? The ultimate vision was, we want more people to use more of our software. Very, very simply. Because the idea of more people use more parts of our software, that's good for them, that's good for us, it'll drive growth. So that's kind of the ultimate backdrop of how we started.
And now, from what I know about Pendo, the founding team, they were very close with each other, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually. They all worked together in the past. And in a way, this was sort of them, you know, bringing the band back together. Here's Todd with more on that early team.
I had friends from prior startups. So like Eric Bodick was one. I had worked with him right out of college at Carnegie Mellon. We started our first company together. And we started our first company together, but we sort of went our separate ways for years. Just, you know, not necessarily by design, but that's kind of what happens. I took a job, he took a job, you diverge. And we'd always said if we had an opportunity, our lives somehow aligned, we would love to work together again. So the good news, the world was aligning. So that was one. Rahul was another one who had worked together with. He said he would love to do something if I was starting something. And the last piece of it was our CTO, Eric Trone, who a bunch of people had said we should meet. And I was just always so busy and he was always so busy. We had never met. But in the months leading up to Pendo, I had some time and I was talking to someone. They're like, you should really meet this person for once. So I met with him. I think he was a key, you know, part of that original founding team, because if you think about our back end and how much data we process and just handling the engineering side of the business, like he was, as our CTO, just a key force. So we kind of formed this founding team. And then we went out to talk and raise capital. I think we knew from day one that this was a capital raise type of companies. I think there's some companies that are very suited for bootstrapping and some probably more suited to go out and raise capital. And I think based on our backgrounds, based on the opportunity, and I think what I would describe as the nearness of the opportunity, like time to market, speed really mattered here. Whereas some things that are very early stage, speed probably doesn't matter as much. You can probably take a few years to incubate an idea, but given the way the world was, we felt like we had to do it now. And we tried to raise, we tried to raise seed funding for a while. We met with a lot of seed firms. I spent a lot of time in the Bay Area. I think given that we are a North Carolina-based or headquartered company, I think we struggled to find funding in the Bay Area. I think I can use the word struggle. Yeah, like we didn't get it. So like I guess by definition, that would be struggling. And I tried hard. And even with track records, even with good backgrounds as entrepreneurs, like it was hard back then. That would be 2013. Finally, we got commitments from a DC-based venture capital seed fund and some New York-based funds. And we put together like roughly $1 million, maybe $1.25 million dollars to kind of get started. And that sort of like was the catalyst to get things going. And of course, while we're raising capital, Eric Trone and I were also building the initial sort of mechanisms for what Pendo is today. So he was building the core of the back end. I really worked a lot on the front end and like everything from the data capture and everything else. And so I think he and I were iterating in the background, sort of just building things out so we had a product to actually show and like start potentially onboarding customers onto.
The founding team was set, but they knew that this was the type of business where they would need funding to build out their vision. So it was late 2013 where they set out to get the funding that they needed, which led them to building out the team even more. Here's Todd with a bit of that timeline of the early days of Pendo getting that funding, forming the team, and building the product.
That took basically the entire fall of 2013. So we would say start in earnest around early September. We actually closed the deal on Christmas Eve, so 12/24. And actually trying to get signatures and wires from VCs on Christmas Eve was not the easiest thing to do, but we got it all wrapped up, got money in the bank. And then we had also, once we had commitments and term sheets, I think starting in early December, we started recruiting some of that founding team as well. So we brought in our first product manager, Shannon Bauman, formerly of Google and some other places. So like a good early stage PM. And then two engineers that we had worked with because of the very known quantities. Great engineers, scrappy, love being a startup. So like that was kind of the early days. And then starting January 1st, 2014, we're in a co-working space going, basically building.
So now it's January 2014 and the team's building.
Yes. And Todd is proud of the team being focused on building, shipping early, shipping often. It's something that Todd says he's proud of today, certainly in those early days. And here's Todd with more on how the team started building and shipping and what led to the early customers of Pendo.
I think one of the hallmarks of the team is we are big on shipping. We're still big on shipping. It's one of my classic mantras. I think if you know me as a product person, I'm very aggressive on shipping software. So like it's kind of who I am. And we got our first version of the product out in April of that year. So only like, basically 3 full months after going full at it, which is really, really fast. Of course, it was very, very light. But we started onboarding beta customers in April, which, again, is very, very early. And then my job sort of split between coding and soliciting, finding, and onboarding beta customers. And like it was like super easy commit. Then I was like, hey, we just want you to try this thing and tell you if you get value out of it. And we knew early on that just installing Pendo was an ask. You got to take this, JavaScript snippet. You have to, get a developer to put it into your product. Like, that's an ask. So we didn't want to ask for money because we figured that ask was large enough out of the gate, given that we weren't a known quantity. So, that's kind of how we progressed. And I think then once we started getting beta customers, we could start watching and interviewing and sort of obsessing over those beta customers, like how are they using it? What are they using? What do they like? What do they dislike? Is it growing or how sticky is it? So at that point, it really shifted to how do we, what are we learning from these folks and how do we get them kind of hooked on the software, which is kind of what you want. You want to get people hooked, and that will start to get you, you know, some measures of product market fit.
Get the people hooked, and you'll find product market fit. Sounds simple, almost. Was it? More on Pendo's origin story and its steps to finding product market fit after the short break. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination.
Before the break, we learned about Pendo, a product experience platform that's considered a unicorn company today. In fact, one of the biggest tech unicorns to come out of the Research Triangle area in North Carolina in recent years. And we went back to a time in 2013 and 2014 when Pendo was raising its first round of funding, building its early product, and it began to try to get those first customers hooked on the product.
To Todd Olson, Pendo's CEO, getting customers hooked, that's the recipe for finding product market fit. It's straightforward, but it's not always simple.
Yeah, there are some companies where the product strikes a chord with the users, and maybe they find that product market fit instantly. And then there's others where a company really has to work to get there.
What was it like for Pendo early on in that product market fit journey?
Well, you know, maybe more of the latter, which isn't a bad thing. You know, Todd and the team at Pendo put in the work and they didn't shy away from putting in the work. Here's Todd with more on finding those early customers.
So in the early days, a lot of our customers, interestingly, came from me either outreaching to people on LinkedIn, you know, sometimes people I knew, sometimes people that were connected with people whom I knew. And also from prospective investors. So I'd meet with VCs constantly. Actually, throughout the years, constantly. You know, every month or so, I'm meeting with a handful. And I would ask for intros to portfolio companies that I thought were good fits for Pendo. And the nice thing about that strategy is that it started creating references for these VCs because I was meeting folks whom they trusted that then I'd get on the phone. And by the way, these are people I do not know very often, but I would get connected with their head of product. And the pitch was actually pretty simple. It was more like, hey, I've been a head of product. You're a head of product. These are the pains I experienced. You experience these pains too? Oh, you do. Great. Well, look, the vision behind Pendo is to help address these pains. Would you be open to trying it out? And they're like, sometimes it was an easy yes. Sometimes it was like, don't quite get it. But that's kind of how the early sales went. It was very personal. That's what led to probably all the early beta customers. And you know, I spent a lot of time on the phone talking to those folks, convincing them to try to just get them to try the product. And one of the interesting things is our product was actually pretty hard to describe. No one before us had ever combined this concept of product analytics. And product analytics was a new space back then. I think if folks go back to that time, you know, I think we were like really the only one talking about product analytics. If you think about Mixpanel, which did exist, and Amplitude, which did exist, they were all focused on marketing analytics at the time, or at least they called themselves that. Neither company called themselves product analytics until probably 2015, 16, somewhere in that range, is 16. So like we were sort of like pioneers here. Actually, it was so funny that some VCs would say, do you really want to focus on this product thing? There's no budget there. Like we talk to people, there's so much more budget in marketing. You know, everyone cites the fact that marketing has the largest budget and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I get that they have a well-known existing budget, but we're really passionate about this product thing and we're going to stick with it. And we understand the pain, we understand the personas, like we're going to really stick to our knitting. And we did. So so when we're describing Pendo to people, it was kind of challenging. Like our website naturally didn't just like lend yourself to go like come in. You had to kind of go outbound and describe it. And that was probably one of the biggest challenges, one of the biggest learnings throughout the early process. It's like you can build a product. It can be a great product. But if people don't understand like why it exists and what contests exist and what they're buying versus like what it competes with, like it's kind of hard to convince people to even try it.
Customers won't even try the product if they really don't understand it.
Right. And especially a product like Pendo, where you're asking customers to embed it into their critical operating systems. I mean, it might be simple to plug a product like Pendo in, but that doesn't mean customers would be quick to do it unless they felt like it was going to be a real game changer for their company.
But it took work on Todd's part, work on the rest of Pendo's team to focus on outbound. I know that these days it may not be so cool to talk about sales and outbound. We want to believe that if a product is truly amazing, people will just come flocking to it, or that we'll build the hooks into the product and then it just sells itself. That's product-led growth, right? But it's not always that simple.
And no, sometimes you actually have to sell your product and market your product. The way that Pendo sold in the beginning days, Todd is literally on the phone with other heads of product talking about pain points that they could relate to. Even in the early days of marketing it, Pendo was putting in the work. Actually, Todd talked about the very first way that Pendo marketed itself. This was even pre-industry, you know, our conference at Product Collective. It was a grassroots organized product camp where Pendo first got its marketing chops. Here's Todd with more on that.
Our earliest marketing was going to product camps on weekends. And I'd personally go. I would have to fight for a speaking position like everyone else would. I would pitch what I wanted to talk on, and I'd bring, you know, a piece of paper for people to sign up on. We didn't have any sort of lead system at the time. And we would capture as many names and emails as we could, and that was it. And there was one weekend trip where I flew to Austin, and my wife and I worked the table. She wasn't working the company. I just need someone next to me to make sure that we could capture names. And then we flew to LA and did one, drove up the coast. So we did three in a period of 2 weekends.
Three product camps in 2 weekends. Todd even enlisting his wife to help staff the table next to him. I love it. That's pure hustle right there.
Yeah, and I think Todd feels like that kind of hustle, you know, is part of the early culture at Pendo, which we will come back to. But by 2014, 2015, Pendo kept building the team. And it was around this team where Todd felt like for the first time, he was starting to see and feel those first signs of what might be product market fit, at least the beginning stages to it. Back to Todd.
I don't know if I actually felt that feeling till sometime like in, you know, probably late 2014, maybe even 2015. So I think it probably took a while. And even actually, another way of thinking about it, like I was at a dinner with a VC in 2021. 2021, that's pretty darn recent. And everyone would have agreed Pendo had a product market fit at before 2021. However, I was describing a situation because at that time, and you got to think about that was a peak zero interest rate period, 2021. We had reps who were like fresh at Pendo, like 24, 25 years old, getting on the phone with an inbound prospect and closing, like literally getting signatures for a deal in a one call, single call. That's amazing product market fit. Like that is, that tells you that for that market, it is like, you know, and that's, if you read Bradfeld's, you know, that's kind of what he describes. And I was telling you the story, and that's when one of our board members was like, well, Todd, that's just really good product market fit. And that's one of the guys, you know, it was like a good reminder, like, oh yeah, duh, like that is just good. Like, I have nothing to do, like, that's just the way it works. Now, but go back, let's go back to when I felt like we had something. You know, obviously, you know, in 2014, we started to get, you know, we started to convert at a healthier clip to the point where I couldn't keep up with it. And, you know, I think one of the interesting stories is we were raising our Series A. It was from Battery. Battery introduced us to a portfolio company whom they really respected, who apparently is one of the hardest companies to sell to in their entire portfolio. Very, very stingy. And we got on the phone, and they basically said, if you can build polls, so ingesting qualitative feedback, we will buy. And a pretty good clip. It was one of our largest deals at the time. And I was like, done. It'll be built. And I went back to the teams like, how fast can we build this? And they're like, a couple months. Like, we're going to commit to a couple months. Maybe I had padded it by one. Now, we worked really hard for those few months. But the fact that it was so fast, once we committed to it, it told us that there was definitely something there. And here's the good news about it. Like, was polls the reason that we hit product? No, it wasn't. But it was always on our roadmap. And I always tell people, product leaders, like, don't get married to your roadmap in terms of order. Like, if it's on there, like, you know you're going to build it, and just someone, like, wants it now, rearrange it. Who cares? Like, if I was emotionally attached to that ordering, I would have struggled and say, well, you know, you can't do that before this thing. No, you just rearrange it. Like, no big deal. Wasn't even a thought. But that started off sort of this, like, the speed of transactions.
Super interesting here. I mean, Todd credits getting those polls launched early and quickly as a big reason that not only were they able to close that customer, but it's a big reason why they started on a tear of sales that led them to really finding product market fit.
And it almost goes against the conventional advice you hear as a product person, right? You don't want to take orders from the customers. You're not supposed to say yes to a feature in order to close a deal.
Right. Although sometimes there's, you know, the sage advice we get from the product gurus out there, and then there's reality. In this case, it sounds like polls, they were on Pendo's roadmap, right? So maybe they were prioritized behind other features, but if you have this major customer willing to sign up, if you are willing to get that feature in sooner, you know, it's not like they were putting a brand new feature on the roadmap because of the customer, but more like adjusting the timing.
And in doing so, it worked out well for Pendo. It sets the stage for finding product market fit. What happened next? We'll dig in more after a quick break. Before the break, we learned about Pendo's origin story from the very beginning in 2013 to ultimately finding true product market fit just a few years later.
I asked Todd Olson to think back on the journey to see if there were any certain inflection points that stood out that helped them get to this product market fit stage. And Todd named a few things in particular. Here's Todd with more.
In the early days, I thought that if we put something out there in the internet, these are the early days of PLG, that we could get people to sign up, you know, start using Pendo, and it would just like, we would just take off. You know, we're sitting in a co-working space surrounded by startups. And I was like, that's the strategy. And honestly, it was not working. That strategy was not working. And it was Shannon, this early product manager, came to me and he's like, why aren't we focusing on like the upper mid-market, like the larger companies? He's like, it seems to me that it seems to be equally as challenging to sell to a, you know, 10-person company as it does like a 1,000-person company. But the 1,000-person company is willing to spend 10 times more than the 10-person company. He's like, and all of your experiences in the founding team are working at companies that sold to enterprises. So you clearly know how to sell to enterprises. Why are you just refusing to not do that? And that was like a good sort of like moment for us to reflect. I think we wanted to be something different. We wanted to be PLG. We wanted to be more viral. But a lot of our backgrounds and experiences were like basically selling, you know, working with enterprises, and we're good at it. Like, you'd hire us to do that because that is part of our background and we're good at it. So once we shift that mindset to be okay with having sales involved, having calls to try to convince people to do it, everything started getting easier. And it even got to the point where, you know, in 2016, I just came in one day to work and I was like, we're going to increase the price 10x on our lowest package. And that was another sort of, like, I think, key inflection point for the company. And that really comes down to scaling go-to-market. You know, it's like one thing when Todd's selling or like our other founders are selling, but then you start hiring sales reps. And scaling your go-to-market is one of the biggest challenges because, as I told you earlier, if I'm getting on the phone with a prospect and I'm talking about, hey, I was the head of product, you're a head of product, okay, now I'm hiring people that have never been a head of product. So that pitch will simply not work for that human being because it's not credible. You know, it would be credible if they had done that. So, like, how do I teach someone, like, what it's like to be a product manager, what their pains are, you know, what how they think when they're approaching a problem? And that really formed some of the early ways we thought about go-to-market and go-to-market training. And one of the things we realized when we started scaling it is, you know, our price points were leading to just not great deals for Pendo or for the customer. You know, when it was too inexpensive and people just sort of threw in a credit card, they tended to non-install, they tended not to care. It wasn't like strategic for the business. And the truth is, if you're using Pendo in a correct way, it's important for your business. Like your product and how people use it and what people use or not use and how people engage. Like, it's core to how your business operates. So you want people to kind of treat it as core. And pricing is actually a pretty good proxy for how important something people, you know, people feel about something. So increasing that price actually also accelerated the company in significant ways. And it was a super scary thing at the time.
So it's now 10 years later from when Pendo got its start. How does Todd see things today? What's changed?
Well, Todd said culturally, Pendo's a very similar company, but there are differences, of course.
I think the biggest difference is, I think we certainly with our size and scale, we have more, probably a little more responsibility even. And, you know, a lot of companies now depend on our products for real mission critical applications. We have, you know, we employ 800-ish people globally. We have, we have responsibilities, you know, to the market and to our customers and to our large team now. And so I'm certainly honored by that, but also I take it very, very seriously. Like, we need to make sure that we do things the right way. We continue to behave in the right way. And look, it was easy when we're five people making sure we behave in the right way. It's much harder when you're 800, making sure 800 people all behave in the right way. So I think, and that could be everything from how we serve customers, making sure we still serve them with the same sort of like excitement and focus that we did when we're really, really young. And do we always get that right now? Probably not. Like, we probably make a few mistakes here, but let's figure out how we can continue doing a better job. And because, like, look, scale is challenging. When you scale, something is going to break, and you never know what that thing is until it actually breaks. You can guess, but until it actually happens, you won't see it. So I think, I think a lot about our responsibility in the market and our leadership position now. We're still the same people.
Still the same people. And I think this goes back to Pendo's culture. Those early days, Todd and the team were intentional about planting the seeds of Pendo's culture, even early on. And the core values they set in place, they still ring true today, according to Todd.
Culture is a huge part of the company, and it has been since the early days. Like, you know, starting January 4th, 2014, we got together and we defined what are our core values, what are important to us. And I already mentioned that, like, some people characterize it as like a work-life balance, whatever, but like that has been a part of our core values since day one. The words have slightly changed, but the concept remains the same, is that, hey, we all have lives outside work and we don't want them to go away. And then we have to find a way to integrate it all together. Some level of having a bias to act has always been part of how we like to work. And you, like, if you work with Pendo, you know that we're just pretty fast and action-oriented people. I don't like a lot of BS. Like, let's just get some things done, man. Let's go build something. So that's kind of core to us. Through the years, we've adapted our values. But I think one of the things we do well is that we have a strong focus on living them. So we have 7 core values. We actually have a system internally. And it was started back in 2016, 2017. And it started using like physical poker chips, which we very quickly outscaled. But the idea was this. You got like a little jar of poker chips, and you could give out a chip to someone you saw live a core value. And at the end of every quarter, we looked at who had the most jars of chips, and we would give out awards. Like, we would recognize people for living the core values. And that's something we've been doing for over 8 years. the company. Now it's like a Slack bot and it's super fancy. But I think the fact is that like recognizing people for living values on a regular basis is very, very important. And actually, it's because it's all on Slack. I read the channel all the time just to see like what people are doing. I mean, last night I was reading that a sales rep in Japan who's only been at the company 6 months was helping a sales rep here in the U.S. with strategies on how to generate pipeline. So cool. And so we have a core value of win together. So it was about how do we all win together? And I love that whole like collaboration and helpfulness concept, and again, big part of our culture. So I think, you know, there's a couple of things about core values that I think some companies like what I call aspirational values, which are, we want to be like this, so we're going to write it down and like aspire to be this way every day. Other companies have values that says, this is how we are, and we want to make sure that people come in know how we are, and so we're honest and direct with them, but by the same token, this sort of helps as a filter for whether someone will fit this. I think ours are mostly the latter. I think we don't have a lot of, I would say, aspiration around, we want to be this way. I think we actually live these things, and this is kind of who we are, for good or for bad.
So it brings us to today, 2024. What is Todd Olson and the team at Pendo excited for today?
Well, three things in particular.
I'm a product person, so I'm obviously very, very excited about our products. I think the platform has grown. We launched new modules and features. I think our product's the best it's been in, like it's just great right now. Like I'm really, really happy. And in part, I don't want to be cliche, but I mean, AI is super interesting, and the way, like, we have 14 trillion events on our platform. So leveraging those events to train models is just opening up all these really interesting generative applications that I'm super excited about. So like, I think that'll give us years of roadmap to go build. And so like, as a product person, knowing that there's just so many things I want to build in so little time, that jazzes me up, and there's a lot of opportunity. So like, I'm super excited about that. I think the other one that's more probably near term and more go-to-market focus is just the types of companies we're working with now. And we see this in the product community. And like one of our ways we think about like our strategy is helping companies become more product-led. And now we're starting to help very traditional businesses become more product-led. And that's very exciting. Like working with a very traditional business on how they think differently about their applications. How do they prioritize? How do they measure and manage? How do they think about the skill sets for their product team? I think helping transform businesses to make them better is something that really, really energizes me. You know, I was at one of our customers, Pitney Bowes, and like you walk into a law office, into a back room, and you'll see a little Pitney Bowes machine because like it mails things. But as you can imagine, you know, all that stuff's being disrupted digitally. And like, so partnering with companies like that, like what's the future for them and how can we help you get to that future? Very exciting. And then the last, but certainly not least, is international. We're a predominantly North American company, like 90%. And I have sort of made it a personal goal this year to get out there more internationally. And I have I've spoken at my first international conference last year. I just didn't spend a lot of time internationally at Pendo. And I think my management team's in a place where I can get on a plane more and spend more time like externally, in particular overseas. And I've already done a lot of travel this year. I think it's April, and I think you'll see me do even more the rest of this year. And that is something that, like, look, it's a long-term investment. We don't need it to return this year, but I just want to get out there and go international, and then also learn. Like, how are their challenges different than the North American challenges? Like, how can I learn from this different community that I personally haven't spent a lot of time in, and the company's spent less time on as well? So super excited for that. So those are my three big ones.
It was a fun conversation with Todd. Again, we're going to do more of these origin stories. If there are companies or entrepreneurs you want to see us profile, or if you're a founder or early builder at a company and you want to tell your story, let us know. We'd love to hear about it.
Before we close things out, did Todd have any parting advice for the listeners?
Actually, he did.
Like when you're creating something from nothing, it's hard. But like if you focus on core fundamentals, what's the pain? How acute is it? Like you can be successful. So really just focus on the fundamentals. Make sure you're solving a hard pain and you will be successful. And that is literally why we're here. We're here because we happen to solve a hard pain well, and that's it.
Find a hard pain to solve and solve it well. That's it.
Again, it's straightforward. Maybe not so simple, but if you can do that, you can maybe find yourself on a similar path to a company like Pendo.
Well, that will wrap up today's episode. A big thank you to the team at Pendo and Todd Olson for sitting down with us for this origin story.
For Mike Belcito, I'm Michael Saka, and this is RocketShip.fm.